The shakes have subsided, our appetites are back, and we've had league football injected firmly into our bloodstreams. In the Premier League, Klopp got off the hop in a draw with Pock, Bournemouth may need to be born again after a drubbing by City, Arsenal give Watford what for, and in a 3-0 victory for United, Rooney makes a more successful return to Everton than Steven Pienaar. And how about a little La Liga? La Real are in trouble as Simeone's boys destroy Moyes, and at the Camp Nou, Neymar erupts the Vallecano with moves hotter than molten lava through the defence. As ever, Moomoo of the Week and Toronto FC cap it all off. Let's go to work. Welcome to the Koshcast here on underthekoshblog.com. My name is Alex, and Roche Mohanad and I are currently holding court in the Under the Kosh blog fortress. Boys, how you doing?
Feeling really secure here in the midst of all these pillows.
Yeah, we're experimenting with the sound control, yes. Sound quality.
Yes. Yeah. It's all very professional.
Yes. So far it sounds pretty good, dude, if you ask me.
I mean, we won't know until we listen to it.
Yeah. Roche's jumping the gun.
Yeah. But I mean, it's always fun doing anything in a pillow fort.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Especially a podcast. Koshcast, as I should say.
Absolutely. More interesting things than this. Almost anything.
Really?
Almost anything.
Right.
But in particular, the English Premier League, which returned to us this week after a week and a bit of absolute dross
international dross.
Yeah, well, I mean, our last podcast was called, what, Taking Out the Euro Trash or whatever?
Yes.
It was unbelievable. I'm
it's
so
like, it's like watching BBC News. That's how boring it was.
But BBC News is great.
BBC is actually great. I mean, watch
okay,
Fox
it's
News.
Very influential.
Roche gets all his information from Reddit.
Extremely informative, but it's not exciting.
That's true.
It just puts you down.
You know, it's not Newcastle and Norwich.
It puts you down and makes you very serious, just like the international
group. Yeah, like watching Albania play football.
Who qualified for the Euros.
This is a bad analogy.
Who qualified for the Euros,
yes.
Honourable mention.
Well done, Albania. Yeah. Let's move on, shall we?
Yeah. Yes, let's do that. So let's do it in chronological order. Spurs-Liverpool. Mm. Woke up at 7:30 a.m. for that one.
Yeah, fine.
Regrettably at this point, in hindsight, to be honest. It wasn't the best of games, but people wanted to see Klopp's first game with Liverpool. It was a 0-0 draw. There were chances. There were. You know, it wasn't as bad as the United Spurs or whatever game. But not much happened except, you know, Eriksen was trying to do things for Tottenham, to be fair. Dembele didn't look too bad. He played, by the way, instead of Dyer.
Who was suspended. Yeah. He did well. I thought he did well. Dembele did well defensively. In fact, better than I would have expected him to. But on the ball, he still kills me. Like he beats a man and then passes it backwards. He plays so safely. Anyway.
Right. I mean, it was the theme of this game. It was a 0-0 draw in the end. One early chance for Liverpool off the crossbar.
Yes.
And then a little scramble in the goal line.
Kane had a couple of good chances he could have / should have put away, but in this form, it's not happening for him. I remember the commentator two or three times saying, you know, Kane of last year, that would have went in. And it's not happening for him right now. Origi started the front for Liverpool.
Yeah, well, Sturridge is unfit again.
Yeah.
As is Benteke, I guess.
Yes, Benteke
is injured, and Ings is now out for the rest of the season. So
yeah, Joe Gomez and Ings both with a cruciate ligament injury, or whatever it's called. Yeah.
Which is unfortunate because Danny Ings was just finding his form.
He's top scorer for Liverpool.
Yeah, and did you guys hear what Klopp said about Gomez?
No.
He said something along the lines of, "He's a lovely lad with muscles in all the right places."
Nice.
So he's still his old self, Jurgen Klopp.
Good old Klopp. In terms of what Jurgen brought to the party, Liverpool went 4-2-3-1, which is as we expected. And I think, for me, the overriding theme of this game was that it was the kind of the pressing and let's take advantage when the other team makes a mistake.
Wait, the pressing or deep pressing?
Well, a bit of both.
Okay.
Deep pressing.
Bit of both for sure. But Tottenham, because they've had it a year and a bit under Pochettino, were doing it better than Liverpool. Liverpool tried, they pressed for the first like 30 minutes or so, then they kind of came off the gas. And then they had another period in the second half. But most of the chances, if you look back at this game, most of the chances are from mistakes at the back.
Right.
That are being forced by the attacking players.
I think one of the best chances was Joe Allen's back pass that sold Skrtel short.
Right.
And then
actually, it was Lallana's back pass that sold Skrtel short. And
he didn't have a good game. Lallana did not have a good game.
No.
But
he did have a terrific cuddle with Klopp on the way out.
Oh, that was brilliant. On the way out, they like hugged as if they've been together for years.
Yeah, yeah. Or it was the last time they ever see each other. Yeah. Which well, might, after that performance, yeah.
I have to say that one thing I'd like to see from Liverpool is Emre Can playing in the midfield where he should be playing.
Yeah, that was
he
good.
He played well. He played well. I'm back to Alex's point about, like, kind of... I mean, mostly Liverpool fans are trying to clutch at anything to see, like, their team do something different than the last game under Brendan. And we all know it's only Klopp's first game. He himself said, I didn't have enough time to change anything when they asked him what to expect. But some people have come out with some stats. People were expecting a Klopp team to kind of pressure a lot, run a lot, do a lot of kind of physical work, which apparently happened in comparison to their previous games. They had the most sprints in any game this season with something like 611. The past ones were only in the 400s or so. And also they ran like 116 kilometers in total, which is the highest they've ever run this season. So I'm sure it's also like a bit of that, oh, it's a new manager, I want to like kind of do my best thing. But it might be something we see in the future from Klopp. More pressure, like Alex said, the first half an hour was, you could physically see them press really high up.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Roshan.
Sorry, Alex, I was going to say, I mean, yes, it was a tough start for Klopp because he's going away to White Hart Lane with Liverpool in his first game in charge. And so we have to take that into effect as well. You know, both teams are looking to find their footing.
Yeah. To be fair. A point away to Spurs, I mean, I'm sure with only a day in charge, he would have taken that.
Not to mention, Spurs haven't been beaten since the opening day of the season. They're clearly more difficult to beat than they were last season. So, yeah, I think that's fine as a result, probably for both teams in this. Yeah.
Before moving on, Dele Alli is playing really well for Spurs.
He's spectacular.
He's actually playing
for
really
his
well.
Age.
Yes. I mean, yeah. And for his he doesn't have that much experience as well. He just got brought on. I mean, similar to Bentaleb last season and Mason. But this one seems a bit different.
Yeah, he's got a bit more... Whereas Bentaleb and Mason are clearly talented, the most you'd really expect of them is to be kind of functional Premier League players for a long time. Whereas Dele Alli looks like he has absolutely monster potential, as I think we've addressed before.
He reminds me a bit of Diaby, just a little bit. Like, he has those long, lanky legs, he has the long strides. Let's hope, obviously, he doesn't follow the same path in terms of injuries.
With any luck.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just get that feeling off him.
Like, I know what you mean. Like, that kind of player, should he fulfill his potential?
Yeah. Are you saying he just looks like Diaby?
No.
Okay, just like Diaby.
Just getting that on record.
Yeah. All right, so, I mean, not the best of games, but moving on, Chelsea 2, Villa 0. I mean, Mourinho, regardless of how it came, needed these 3 points. He just needed them. Costa came back into the lineup. Hazard was dropped. Mourinho giving the reason, kind of slyly saying it's a tactical decision, / Hazard doesn't defend as much as he'd like. You know, the same excuse Mourinho comes up with dropping any player. He used it with Oscar. He used it with, you know.
Yeah, he basically just said we're swapping talent for defensive discipline.
Right.
Which is what he gets from Willian and Pedro on the wings.
And I can understand where Mourinho is coming from, because in Chelsea's previous loss to Newcastle, there were There were some serious errors coming in that defense with the
definitely. And you see the difference. You saw the difference when Ramirez came on for Cesc even in that game. It just gives them kind of a solidity. But the funny thing is, Cesc and Matic played two deep line players, and then he had Loftus.
Well, he brought Matic on, so Ramirez started with Cesc. Loftus Cheek was playing in a
number
slight 10. Like 10 position.
He didn't look bad. He didn't look bad.
No, like, okay.
He's a physical specimen. That guy.
Yeah.
Oh, he's like 19 years old. He's like the next Lukaku for Chelsea. but I think Mourinho really desperately needed these 3 points because he just got a £50,000 fine for his silly comments, as well as a one-match touchline ban.
But when is that happening?
I don't know.
Next game?
Yeah, don't know. Maybe. He was quick to say that the referee was fabulous today, though, after they won. But
Loftus tongue.
When you give him 3 points, he seems like a different person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, to be fair, what you said there is so correct. He was given the 3 points.
Yes.
Because Aston Villa looked quite good. What's his name? The midfielder for Villa. He plays great.
Westwood?
English guy. Nope. Just got his call. Did the
Rudy Gesty?
Did the drug stuff striker recently.
Grealish?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was great. He played really well. And then Guzan decides to pass the ball out to, I think, Lescott.
Yeah, which is never... Passing to Lescott is never advisable.
And it wasn't a nice pass. It was like a chip into his foot. Lescott is not, you know, the best technically. Don't do it. Just kick it out.
Yeah.
And Willian pounces on it, which is... Willian does great. And then passes it across to Costa, who gets another goal, which is annoying.
Yeah.
And then the second one was Costa trying to cross the ball. Literally, he's playing it away from goal.
Mm-hmm.
And it hits someone's heel. I think it was Hutton's or something.
Yeah, it was Hutton. Over. It was very unlucky. And... Yeah, I mean, Chelsea didn't create that much beyond this. Villa looked okay, as you said, and it was just really stupid mistakes from Villa, especially with the first one, and the second one they weren't brilliant defending there either. But I really, and we've said it before, Willian, everything is going through him. Mm. He's been Chelsea's best player for a long time now, and it's really impressive.
Pedro needs to start playing, but I've seen a lot of Chelsea fans on Twitter complaining that he's really not bringing it as much as they expect.
It's interesting that Pedro hype from all of the Chelsea fans seemed to have died really quickly.
Well, yeah, he's not performing as well. No. I mean, the whole team isn't, so it's hard when you're a new signing as well, if your team isn't playing well, but...
They've all gone silent.
Well, yeah.
It's all gone quiet over there. It's all gone quiet.
Everton, United, that was the game I was waiting for this week. I mean, obviously, other than West Brom Sunderland, but this one was second on my list. So, United winning this, what seems a very convincing 3-0 scoreline. Very impressed with their performance because it was pragmatic. It was practical. Not a lot of flair. Martial barely touched the ball. Rooney, the same. The front three guys didn't do much, but Smalling, Schneiderlin, Herrera... That kind of the players who, when they play well, you just get a practical win. They all did it, and that's what happened.
Yeah, I really like how Mohamed said that it was his second on the list to watch this weekend.
Yeah.
So what were you going to say before I interrupted you rudely?
Bernie, who we are missing this week, wrote a piece before this game saying that Ander Herrera needed to start playing and that Blin needed to be dropped in central defence to bring in a real central defender. That's what happened, and it seemed to pay off.
Yeah, so Jones...
No, definitely. Seeing Phil Jones come back into the lineup was a big lift for the defense.
Always a face you want to see.
Yeah. And Chris Smalling did exceptionally well against Lukaku.
He's been unbelievable.
Yeah, but Lukaku in particular has also been in form this season. So we've seen a defender in form versus a striker in form, and I think Smalling won that battle hands down.
Smalling was winning any and every battle that was getting thrown at him.
But I think just in general, for the course of the game, compared to the Arsenal game, which was United's previous fixture, night and day. Because they controlled the game from the start to the finish.
Well, the opposition is also a bit night and day, to be honest, but...
Sure, but Everton, I mean, they started the season pretty hot.
No, they're playing well. Okay, tell me this. Do you think Schneiderlin's first goal, do you think there was a foul there in the build-up with Rooney on Naismith? I mean, it's not a big deal. I don't care that much. But I feel, yes, it could have been given.
It's possible that it could have been given, but at the same time, Rooney is an immovable object.
What disappointed me more about that goal was the foul that I could take or leave, but Tim Howard, and I've noticed this a lot recently, is that he guesses, and he guesses really early on. So he dove the wrong way for Schneiderlin's
really
shot.
Early.
And I understand needing to go early to have a chance of saving it, but there's no point if half the time you're going to go the wrong
way.
He
did it for Rooney's third goal as well. I mean, he was on the ground to his right way before Rooney even attempted to kick the ball. So it's not a good idea. But the best goal out of the three was definitely Herrera's header. That Rojo cross was
beautiful.
Brilliant.
Beautiful cross. I think the ball came from central midfield towards Martial to begin with, who was playing on the left.
Yes. Ref did a good job to let it go.
Absolutely. The play on, waved on. Rojo gets the ball, sends the cross in early, and what a cross it was.
Very early. And that's the best part of it. He didn't run with it uselessly. He just. But what is Herrera doing in your box, open, just standing?
Well, the better question is, what is Herrera doing on the bench? Because he scored a goal every 156 minutes, there's a stat, and he's coming as a midfielder.
He gives you a lot of energy, too, when you don't have all old legs playing around.
Yeah, he's not a player that you think of as being very pacey or very dynamic, but when you watch him play, he's actually a lot quicker than you think. And whereas he doesn't have that kind of burst of acceleration over a few yards, when he gets going, like for that, he has like a rangy run that gets him into dangerous areas.
Yeah, as you can see with his header, he was in the right place at the right time.
Right, so very, very good 3 points away to Everton. You know, that's not always easy. So,
puts them in the top three as usual.
That's true.
And Rooney getting on the score sheet will be good for him.
It will be good for him. It will be. I mean, I wasn't very convinced of the finish.
He didn't quite celebrate his goal either.
Oh, he doesn't really deserve to.
Yeah. City beating Bournemouth 5-1.
Beating is,
annihilating, kind of destroying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sterling. I mean, so first of all, to paint a picture of this game before it started, no Aguero, no Silva. Everyone wanted to see Boney step up. De Bruyne obviously would have to. And Sterling a little bit, because he's been underwhelming slightly.
No company either, right?
No Kolarov.
Yeah, no Kolarov, which I think is a great
player. That whole team is injured.
That's true.
Who was even playing for City?
I mean, clearly Sterling and Boney. Sterling scoring a hat-trick, Boney scoring two goals. Sterling looked good. Like, he looked like a bit less pressure when the other guys weren't there, because he didn't have to pass as much as he thinks he does.
I would also say, and I know it's easy to say in hindsight, but for a player like Sterling, Boney is a better foil for him than someone like Aguero, who's on the last man, always looking to get in and finish chances. Whereas Boney is far happier to drop a bit deeper, play the kind of target man and link up and bring other people into play, which is what you saw a lot in this game.
I mean, definitely. I think City had the room to run riot. It wasn't even a contest in the end. But I do feel exceptionally bad for Bournemouth because they've got injuries to all of their key players.
Yeah, they do.
Their new signing, their captain, Callum Wilson, all of their best players are out. Yeah. Six players.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have to this happens, and they're going to have to kind of grind out a couple of draws here and there.
Well, the problem is I really don't think they're able to keep pace with the Premier League so far. It's 10 games, not even 10 games into the season, and they've got so many injuries.
Yeah,
it is going to be extremely difficult, but
yeah, well, good luck to them. Southampton 2.
No remorse. Wow. Well, Mohamed.
Dismissed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not... Yeah, anyways. Southampton 2, Leicester 2. No prizes for guessing that Southampton were 2-0 up, obviously, because that's what Leicester do.
They might as well just start games 2-0 down. Like, let's get that out of the way.
And it's win 4-2 as opposed to...
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So, both centre-backs for Southampton scoring goals, Van Dijk and Font.
Yep.
I mean, sure, very good goals. You want your centre-backs to contribute, so that's great. 2-0, cruising, everything looked good. Then, for some reason, Mahrez isn't starting games anymore. I'm not sure why.
I assume it's because Ranieri is trying to get a bit more, like the Mourinho thing, like trying to get a bit more defensively solid. It's not working.
It's not. And then he brings him on, and they score 2 goals.
Yeah.
Vardy, obviously the best striker in the world right now.
I think Ranieri's strategy is the best, because he brings Mahrez off the bench at a time where the opposition is tiring.
Yep.
Mahrez comes on, and he's a very high-impact player.
That's true. But, I mean, we've seen also at the beginning of the season, he can do it from the start. I would play him. I mean, he's one of... I mean... I don't know.
Yeah, I think Leicester just, like, they haven't had a clean sheet yet. Yeah. They need to embrace the fact that they're going to concede goals and just go for it. Like, if you're going to win every game 4-2 or something, fine. But, like,
So, like we said, Vardy scoring both, Mahrez with a great assist for the second. Vardy is...
9-9.
It's more than a streak now. He's looking really good.
It's reminding me of that kind of streak that Kane went on last season. It's like every time he shoots, it just goes in.
You can't help it.
Yeah. I mean, he rocketed. For that second one, he absolutely...
He did. Vardy's also really fast. He has the fastest sprint in the season this season. So it's very impressive. He's
running away from his non-league career.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a good point for Leicester every time you say that, because they do come back. But if you can win the game from the start...
Leicester City are in fifth place, I believe.
We'll go through that. I think they are in fifth. Yeah. So that's very impressive. I mean, nine games in.
I particularly enjoyed the comeback after Southampton fans at 2-0 were going, "One Ronald Koeman!" There's only one Ronald Koeman. Which was still true at the end of the game at 2-2.
They brought on, what's his name? The Southampton dude that was injured forever. Rodriguez, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't look very good.
Well, he's been out for...
Obviously, that's one of the things that contributed to, like, it just looked like they were playing with one less guy.
Yeah.
He was just kind of getting back into it.
Now, I would love to have seen some fan footage of what happened in that Southampton locker room at the end of that game.
What, just from the disappointment?
Just Ronald Koeman hairdryer. I don't think he would look very pretty. Let's just put it that way.
He would be very red in the face.
Yeah.
He gets very red angry. Very easily.
That's true. Yeah. One final comment on this. Virgil van Dijk tried really hard to miss.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see that.
You didn't see the goal?
No.
Oh, like, he was at the back post, the ball kind of bobbled to him. He hit the post from a yard out and then nearly missed the rebound. Like, it was very close to going over the bar.
I thought you meant, like, another chance, but yeah.
It would have been the best miss in the history of... It's almost a shame he scored.
Seamus Coleman. Anyways.
Wow.
Okay. I know, just word association.
Sure.
Watford-Arsenal. Everyone was like, yeah, Arsenal should really cruise through this one.
It's like, yeah.
Who are these people going like, yeah?
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, the Wenger boys.
The Arsene Wenger boys?
Ah, very nice.
That was what you were referring to.
No, it wasn't, but thank you. So eventually winning the game 3-0.
Yeah.
But the first half was uncomfortable.
Watford are the new Pulis era Stoke.
Yes.
They're 4-4-2. They're a team of absolute mountain giants.
They had the best defensive record before playing them.
Yeah. I can only assume that they're the tallest team in the league. They have to be.
They look unbelievably tall.
Arsenal the shortest in the league. So this was like Gulliver's Travels. It was like the Lilliputians and the whatevers.
Yeah.
Wow. That is a reference that went straight over my head. I'm sorry.
Oh, well.
Well, that's because you're so short. Oh. Anyways, you're not. But whatever.
I am speechless.
Yeah. So, anyways, the game started off, like I said, first half was quite uncomfortable. Gabriel had the flu, so Koscielny had to come in earlier than I think Wenger would have liked. Sanchez played. Some people thought he might not, including myself, because of his long trips and his hip injury and all that good stuff.
In any other universe, he doesn't play that game. He's just too important to drop.
To be fair, Sebastian Giovico played a game for Toronto 24 hours after he played
right,
for Italy.
But that's the MLS, so. And he had,
and he only played 20 minutes.
He's only the leading. He's only the Messi of the MLS.
That's true. But anyways. Nil-nil first half. And then the second half came up and Arsenal looked better because Watford started to tire. They were pressing so hard. Capoue was having a great game for
them. He played well, to be honest.
And then it obviously, you could start to see, he had a dive in the box, which was a clear dive. Yep. Coughlin was not happy. Yep. And then from the same attack, up the field. I love it when that happens.
Yeah, it's fun.
Up the field.
There's a sense of justice about it.
Santi with a brilliant little through pass to Ozil, who tried his best not to shoot.
Yeah.
And then it bobbled to Sanchez. And he...
tucked it away.
Off the post.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. And then that's it. Floodgates open. Ramsey scored. Giroud scored.
Your favorite player, Olivier Giroud.
Yeah. Giroud actually has 4 goals this season, and he's barely played.
Yes. That's more than the top scorer for Chelsea this season. The own goals.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he just comes off the bench and scores. Like, that's his new thing.
I mean, if he can be a good impact player, that's fine. That would be great. Walcott didn't look too bad. It's just they really parked the bus. And like you say, when you park the bus, Walcott's not the most useful.
Yeah. Well, especially when he's facing 2 15-foot giants.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, good 3 points for Arsenal after the international break, which is usually a game that they struggle in.
Yes.
Just because.
Oh, quick note also. Arsene has moved on from struggling with his zip to struggling with his hood.
Yes. Yes, he couldn't get it out between the coat and his neck.
Yeah.
It was quite funny.
Not sure how this man lives.
And I love the cameramans now. They don't care. They just watch him
cameramans.
Do it.
Cameramans.
Cameramans.
Camera women's.
The cameramen?
Cameramen, yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Anyways.
So like, Mahanan hasn't eaten all day, so he's fine. Struggling a little
he's
bit.
He's excused. He got the flu that one of the Arsenal players going around.
Gabriel?
Yeah.
I wish I was that close, to be honest. But anyways, the cameramans, now what they do is they just focus on Wenger for like a good 20 seconds
when he
knowing
puts his
this
coat
is going to be gold.
Yeah, it's good.
The latest game, which happened today, Newcastle-Norwich. If anyone thought they were going to see 8 goals today, they're lying.
I went 2-2.
Fine, 4. But 8 is double of that, if you know any math.
I don't, but I'll take your word for it.
I help you out. So yeah.
Surprising to see Newcastle scoring 6 goals. They're known for a team to be profligate. Profligate.
Profligate.
Profligate. Excuse
we're
me.
They're melting down.
Sounds like
boys.
They're little.
You know what, Alex? This is better than Mohamed's cameraman's
right. margin. If that's your standard, then fine. Yeah. Go over it.
Right.
But yes, like you said, Newcastle did score 6. And you want to give an attempt saying this name? Vijnaldum.
Sure, well done.
Not bad.
Wijnaldum.
Scored 4. 4.
Yeah, which he made very clear with his celebration, sticking 4 fingers up and shouting 4.
It's too bad he's not part of that Lewandowski, Ronaldo, and what's his third?
Aguero.
Aguero's names. 5 goal club.
Yeah.
Very close.
Very close, but impressive from Newcastle. Norwich didn't play bad.
Yes,
Redmond,
they did.
Well,
defensively, they were absolute shambles.
Yes.
Norwich hit the post twice. I think there was no defending in this game overall.
Hmm.
It was just a free-flowing. It was
a basketball game.
Attack versus attack. It was a hockey game.
Yeah.
Basketball game.
Or like other sports.
All other sports that you don't really... Yeah.
Higher scoring.
It was kind of like swimming if you... it.
Right, back and
just
forth.
Back and forth.
Yeah. Newcastle scoring here and here.
Redmond just doing laps of the pitch.
Yes. But yeah, so great 3 points for Newcastle. They're still in the bottom 3. But now they have 6 points. They're 17th instead of 20th.
Their first win of the season.
Is it?
Yeah.
No.
It's like, yeah.
No,
yeah. I don't think it is.
No.
I'll put $1 down that it is.
Well, that doesn't fill me with confidence.
No.
You're supposed to go high.
I told you not to make up any facts.
I'll give you $5.
Okay.
I'm not giving you $5, by the way. It's coming back because it is their first win of the season.
Okay, we'll see about that.
Yes.
But yes, so Mitrovic and Ayoze also scoring.
Mitrovic celebrating once again like an absolute nutcase.
Yes. Shooting the crowd with imaginary machine guns. 2 of them.
Thank God they
you
were
get the feeling that one day it will be real.
Right. So a couple of other
allegedly.
Games to quickly point out. Crystal Palace 1, West Ham 3. Another great 3 points away from home for West Ham, who are top of the away table.
Yeah.
Payet scoring again.
By the way. West Ham, all of their points have been away from home. And those 4 wins.
Liverpool, United, City. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
impressive.
Crystal Palace. The impressive Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this game was very even until Marcus Gayle really stupidly got himself sent off.
Yeah.
And then West Ham just went on to win.
Sorry, do you mean Dwight Gayle?
Yes, sorry, you're right. Marcus Gayle. He's old.
Wimbledon.
Yeah. I liked him, though.
Into the annals of history here.
Exactly. Yeah, indeed.
There was also West Brom 1, Sunderland 0.
This was the worst game in the history of football
games. Oh, my.
Yes.
Good Lord.
Pantelimon. He tried to make it exciting. He's like, I need a goal and just to get things going.
Alex, please tell us about the highlights, real quality.
It was mostly the ball bobbling around in each area with no one knowing what to do and how to kick it.
It was like an under sixes game with a mud patch in the middle of the field.
So, like, liking it to other sports like we've done, it's volleyball.
No. If there was a mud patch in the middle of the field, the ball got stuck in it, and all the under six players come and start kicking in the water everywhere.
It was like a scrum.
Yeah.
Rugby
World Cup. It was like a scrum.
It was just like football at recess.
Yes. Right. I, to be honest, thought Barry Hino celebrated his goal a bit too much, given how shit it was.
Exactly.
Thought that a game between Allardyce and Pulis would be terrible?
Exactly. James McLean, or McLean, however you want to say it, was an ex-Sunderland player playing for West Brom. At the end of the game, caused some controversy, went up to the Sunderland fans, his ex-fans, and sure. He celebrated in their faces. Mm. And that caused a bit of a kerfuffle.
Classy guy.
What do you think he is, Manuel Adebayor against Arsenal?
Anyways, so those are all the games. There is a game tomorrow. I think it's like Stoke someone. I'm not sure who it is.
Yeah, they haven't played.
Yeah, it's Stoke someone. But just running down the table really quick. City top with 21. Arsenal 19, tied with United. Second and third. West Ham, fourth.
Understandably, if you giant kill everyone.
Yes. Leicester at fifth, which is great. And Crystal Palace at sixth. So those three are weird. And then, I mean, the next three are who you had expected to be. Like, you got Spurs, Southampton, Everton. And then after you got Liverpool, Chelsea. Chelsea sitting at 11th.
Yeah.
Good.
Just above West Brom.
The signing of Pedro brings you down into mid-table.
Yeah, so I saw a lot of Chelsea fans quite upset. They're like, Barcelona mugged us twice in 2 years with Fabregas and Pedro.
It was interesting to see the change in Chelsea fans because a friend of ours, Toby, if he's listening, he should listen very carefully because I remember him saying distinctly that this season he's not a fan. He's not even watching football this season.
Why? Right.
Because of Chelsea's form.
Right, well, Mourinho can be quite annoying.
That's not how fandom works.
That's true.
You're just hiding in the bush like Homer Simpson.
Arsenal, there would be no Arsenal fans.
Yeah.
Like, Tottenham fans would not exist.
Most fans wouldn't exist.
Yeah, most fans wouldn't exist.
Yeah, you hear that, Toby?
Toby, Alvarez. Anyways, okay, let's move on to Moo Moo of the Week.
Dumb stuff.
Moo Moo of the Week.
Of the Week. Of the Week. Our first Moo Moo this week was provided by our listener, Zaid. Thank you very much, Zaid, for this Moo Moo. The Moo Moo happens to be a referee in Italy, refereeing an under-14s game, which just happened to be 31-0 at the 60th minute.
That's impressive by whoever scored 31 goals.
Yeah, that's about a goal every 2 minutes.
I assume it was Jamie Vardy.
Jamie Vardy playing in a U-14s game. Yeah, you know, you wouldn't put it past him. So the referee, thinking that, okay, I think there's a lot of psychological damage done to some of these kids over here, decides to go and consult both coachings, and both coaches agree that it's time to end the game. Now, while he think he did something good, the referee board in Italy decided
in
that...
In Bologna, actually.
Yes, Bolognese.
Oh, Bolognese.
Yeah, the Bolognese Refereeing Association decided that he did not uphold the rules of the game and has suspended him to teach him a lesson.
Right. I mean, look, I understand... Yes, enough. But, you know, the rules of football is you got to play the 90 minutes.
I think he did the right thing. I think if both coaches agree, and look, 31-0 is already mentally scarring enough. Let's say he'd let the game go on. It could have feasibly been 60 or 70, and those children would never play football
again. Right, but at 31, they are going
to. I mean, we had a similar experience with UTC FC. It was at 11-0, and the other team didn't want to play anymore. They walked off
yes,
the field.
One guy actually went, I'm done.
So what's going on with these 14-year-olds? Are they actually going to play the 90 minutes? No, they want to be done. They want to be off the field.
I think the person that needs to be punished is the coach of the team that lost 31-0, not the referee that called it off.
He should be suspended.
Yes.
You're right. All right, great. So our second Moo Moo is... A Greek medical team, one of the Greek teams in the league, not sure who. But the point is, a guy was injured. They came on, two of the guys with the stretchers. They put the guy on. His head was only halfway up the stretcher for some reason. And the rest of his body was dangling off. So what you do is when you're injured, which is your legs, the guy grabbed the guy's legs instead of the stretcher. And used that to drag him off the field. It was hilarious. Then they fell over. They were like in a pile. They got up again and did it again.
He fell onto the player.
Yes.
Actually.
It was hilarious. It was like such a funny moment.
It didn't look like they were actually physically able to lift the guy up.
No.
And there were two of them.
But they were rushing so hard.
Well, obviously because the guy on the other end was carrying nothing. The player was halfway down the stretcher.
You know what my theory is?
Yeah.
I think that this was a home team was losing 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
And the home medical staff... decided that they weren't going to wait for this guy to get on the stretcher.
Smart.
Just throw him off the field.
They would have been better off with like a wheelbarrow.
Yes.
Bring out your dead.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not dead yet. Yes, you are.
Alex, what's yours?
Samuele Aladici, who turns up a lot on this podcast. Allardyce. Samuele Aladici.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah. He has written a book.
Yes.
Or talked at someone who's written it for him.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Yeah. And in this book, amongst calling Rafa Benitez useless and a few other things, probably expounding on how wonderful Kevin Nolan is as a man and player, he's also gone into the fact that in 2006, he went for an interview for the England job after Sven-Goran Eriksson. And he thinks that part of the reason he didn't get it was because he prepared a massive PowerPoint presentation covering everything that the FA would need to know. And then, just before the interview, he was told that the place that they were having the interview did not have PowerPoint
facilities. They lacked PowerPoint facilities.
So, like a plug?
Yes.
Maybe a laptop. Presumably, he had a laptop.
To be fair, where were they having this interview? It's probably over lunch. Look at the size of him.
Well, if he thought they were going to have like a PowerPoint presentation over lunch, that's normal.
Yeah.
But anyways,
how long the presentation would have been.
I think the quotes he used, which he was quite upset about, is it was going to be a knock your socks off interview.
Yeah,
knock your socks.
Which is, I think, his pickup line, as well. Knock your socks. At night. Yeah,
that would work.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. You ready for this? It's a knock your socks off interview.
I don't want to think about that.
He just goes to the club with the USB.
Speaking of Nolan, though, he did bring him back to.
He didn't rule it out. He was asked because he signs him for everyone. So the journalists were like, are you going to sign Kevin Nolan again? Because you always do.
Right.
And he was like, well, maybe.
Yeah, people are saying Kevin Nolan is the only one that knows how to work Allardyce's printer. Because apparently Allardyce uses the same printer.
Or he just provides him with the finest laser pointer.
Yes.
For his presentations.
Great. All right, so moving on to La Liga.
Bienvenido.
Thank you.
Bienvenidos.
Yeah, actually.
Sod off, mate.
You tell him how to speak English. You tell him how to speak Spanish.
This isn't a Phil Neville moment on the beach, is it? Right.
Could be.
So, Ronaldo, this weekend, broke the Real Madrid all-time scoring record.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, so Real Madrid won 3-0. He scored quite a good goal. I think what people are taking out of this a lot is that, well, now he's kind of done. He's done everything he can at Madrid. He broke the record. He's won the Champions League. He's won the league. He's done everything he wants to do. Now maybe he can leave without holding on to anything.
I thought maybe you were going to say now he can maybe pass the ball a bit.
Oh, that's not going
to
happen.
I think it's all about his teammates' goals.
Yeah. He did get an assist this weekend, to be fair.
Right. Reluctantly?
Well, he was actually expecting Marcelo to roll it back.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably.
Marcelo had what a finish from a left back. That was brilliant. The touch, the 1-2. Like, he's such a good technical player who can defend that well, but you don't really need to all the time in La Liga.
He can surely kick a ball in front of goal.
He can. Impressive. Yeah.
No, I think we've discussed before how like he gets called a left back, but like
he's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Alaba.
Mm.
Yeah.
With the amount of space and time you have in La Liga, anyone can be a left back.
Right.
Reasonable point.
I should send in my PowerPoint slides.
I mean, Alberto Moreno looked incredible at Sevilla.
That's true. That's true. Barca beating Rayo Vallecano 5-2.
Mm.
No Messi. So Neymar decided to step up and score 4 goals, 2 of which are penalties.
No pun intended, he stepped up.
Uh-huh.
To the penalty spot.
Okay.
Not strictly a pun.
Yeah.
Stick to Spanish.
So, he's to be fair, the two penalty people say, I scored 2 penalties. He did get both of them with brilliant skills to trick the
My
defender
goodness.
Both times.
Yes.
He ruined that second defender's entire career.
He did.
Would you rather have been victim of that skill or lose 31-0 to an under-14 side?
I think 31-0. It's not all my fault. But that penalty is all my fault.
True.
I could have been sick that day, you know.
Exactly.
I could have been a sub.
So, yeah, and Suarez scored the last one with a Neymar assist, too.
That was lovely.
That was the goal of the weekend, if you ask me.
Okay. Tell us. I know why you enjoyed it. Tell us.
Well, because Suarez and
Munir
are running parallel. The ball's on the left wing with Neymar. Now, Suarez tells Munir to run cross diagonal towards the front post.
Mm-hmm.
Suarez runs towards the back post because he knows that Neymar is going to look for him. While he's running towards the back post, Neymar just puts the ball in, and it just all happens at the same time.
Looked good. It did look good.
And the finish just like on the half ball, on the bounce, and it just goes carpet on the ground under the goalie's leg into the goal.
Now, here's my question. it was brilliant, and it could have been tactical, like within game tactical genius by Suarez, or was it a really selfish move from him? Because he knew where the ball was going. Munir, you know, is just coming to the team, not so familiar with
you
the...
You go front post, yeah, no one passes it
well,
there.
Go on, mate, front post, that's where it was.
I'm going to give this one to Suarez because what Munir did was really drag the defender out of that space, and Suarez just ran into the space.
Right, but we're just saying it's selfish because Munir could have been there instead.
Well, no, because the defender was in front of Munir. So
that's Suarez's excuse.
They pulled the man out of the place.
The last game in La Liga we're going to talk about is Sociedad versus... Atletico Madrid.
Moyes is in trouble.
Yes, Atletico Madrid winning this one 2-0. Griezmann in the 9th minute, as Roche said, just walked through the defense.
No. He just ran in a straight line towards the goal.
It's that Lucas goal for PSG had once where he just like walked in, ran in a straight line.
Yeah, well, I think Lucas had to run almost the length of the pitch for that one. But yeah, Griezmann picks it up just inside the Sociedad half and just runs. And the problem is that by the time the defenders have realized what he's going to do, it's too late because he's so quick.
He's run through their central defenders.
Yeah. Griezmann is fantastic.
Moyes must have absolutely gone mental.
Probably.
For chipping the goalie.
And then the best part of this game was the last 2 minutes, from the 88th minute till the end of the game. I think Real Sociedad had 6 yellow cards, 2 red cards, and a goal conceded.
Yep. That must be a record.
That is fantastic.
That is a meltdown of
epic
Toronto Blue Jays proportions.
Yes.
Clearly, before bringing the Blue Jays into this, clearly there was something that they were pissed off about. And I think they did have some
losing the game 1-0 and letting a guy walk through the whole defense.
Yeah.
Well, that would have been annoying. But no,
the second goal offside track was equally bad, by the way,
yes,
if you see that.
That's true. But they did have an argument in terms of the second red card that they got. I mean, it was dodgy.
It was a bullshit call, to be fair.
Sure. But nonetheless, they lost their rag. And they lost the game.
Right. Well, that's too bad.
And they'll probably lose their manager soon.
Yeah.
Speaking of losing games,
poor Moisey.
TFC lost recently to Columbus. That's why I'm getting the sour out of the way. Okay. So the latest game, TFC lost 2-0 to Columbus. Fine, at home, not the best performance. Let's forget about that. Now they're in third instead of second. Fine. Okay. But the game before.
Yeah, let's just focus on that.
Yes, that one was epic. Bradley, Giovinco, Altidore, all on the bench. Well, not for the equal amount of time. Bradley for the full time. Giovinco came on 20 minutes to go. And Altidore got a red card with half an hour.
Very impressive.
From the bench.
Yes, yeah. Very impressive. It was a game against the New York Red Bulls, who have been very, very impressive, top of the table. I think TFC haven't beaten them in like 20 attempts. And then it was 1-0 to TFC. Giovinco comes on with 20 minutes to go. He's only been off the plane 3 hours now from his Italian...
excursion.
Yeah. And he scores MLS possibly goal of the season.
I haven't watched MLS since its inception, but is there an argument for that being the best goal in MLS ever?
Possibly. I can remember some of the good ones. The Vancouver guy, I don't remember his name, scoring
Eric
on the
half
volley top corner. There's a couple. Sure. But this season, and especially the importance of it, that goal basically gave them, what's it called?
Playoff
spot.
Yeah, it secured it. I mean, they were 1-0 up. They didn't really look like conceding, but yeah, it secured the win.
But they did.
He ran past 3 players. I don't think you see many running past players and scoring goals in the MLS. So maybe there's a good case for that. But this was a brilliant goal. He finished with his weaker foot across
side
the goalkeeper.
Netting. Yeah, it was
beautiful.
Unbelievable.
Greg Vanney was very analytical after the game. He said, "You know, I thought he was going to shoot, and then he cuts the guy." I'm just like, this is top level.
This is yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wondering what Vanney can possibly say to Giovinco.
Nothing. Every interview they go, "How's he doing?" He's like, "Yeah, he's doing his thing, man. Like, it's good."
But just to be fair, he's leading in goals. He's leading in assists in the whole of the MLS.
Isn't it an MLS record as a total? So far, ever.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Don't they call that a double-double?
Yeah.
In basketball, at least.
Yes. And then a triple-double. But I don't know. What would a triple be in football? You got assist goals. Would it be like...
That's what you get at Tim Hortons, no?
Yeah. But in basketball, you have a triple-double, too. Ah. I just don't know what your third thing would be in football. Because you've got only assists and goals, really.
Yellow cards?
Nah. That's a bad thing.
We should ask the fantasy points makers.
Yeah, right?
I don't care enough.
So that's fantastic. TFC now have a playoff spot guaranteed. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to come second. Because that gives you a bye.
Need to try a bit harder.
Yes, to give you an extra round. So right now, Red Bulls are first on 54 points. They played one last game. So they're up there. They're not going anywhere. Columbus, unfortunately, now leapfrogged TFC into second with 50 points. TFC have 49. The problem is DC have one less game at 48. So might end up third or fourth, but second is not looking very probable anymore after latest loss.
Yeah, I think it's 34 games played total, and I think there's like one or two games left in the the regular season. The knockout round for the playoffs is October 28th, 29th.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first round for the playoffs, the first leg is November 1st, and the second leg is November 8th.
Looking forward to someone that. Who has lived in California, I want your opinion on this. Will the East-West battle in the playoffs be as intense as the East-West rap battles of the early 90s?
Whoa.
Is anyone going to get shot?
Alex, that's a very difficult question. I think there is an East-West battle regardless. I can't put a really funny spin on this.
Okay.
I have to disappoint you there. But yeah, there's going to be a bit of a rivalry anytime you get East-West.
I mean, yeah, it's going to... I mean, how does the playoffs work, though? You play just your division or whatever conference all the way until the MLS Cup?
Yeah, there's an Eastern Conference winner, a Western Conference winner, and then the ultimate winner wins the entire thing. It's kind of like the baseball playoffs.
Yeah,
but as you can see, there's a big Canadian-US rivalry to begin with. So.
Right, that is... I mean...
So we're going to see that for sure.
Speaking of Canadian teams, Montreal is sitting fourth in the Eastern right now. Drogba has something like 9-9. His latest free kick was scrumptious.
Is that the one where he celebrated by intimidating the whole world?
Yes, yeah. By looking into the camera and kind of just like staring into our souls.
But the camera changed and they could see him looking at the previous camera.
Yeah.
Just staring at it.
It was brilliant.
Dominance was established.
Vancouver is third in the Western Conference. So we could have three Canadian teams in the MLS playoffs. That's impressive.
Yeah, that's very impressive. That's I think they're all going to make it. Vancouver was actually number one in the Western Conference for the longest time.
Yeah. All right, well, that's good. I mean, it would be... Can you imagine how the Americans would lose it if you had Vancouver, let's say, versus Montreal or TFC in the MLS?
It would be great. No one would watch it.
No one would watch it.
The viewing figures would solely be Canadian.
It would be great because we wouldn't see a stupid B2 flyover.
That's true.
That is true.
Roche is referring to the start of the most recent Toronto Blue Jays Kansas City game, where they actually had a stealth bomber fly over as they sang the national anthem and unfurled a flag that was the size of the pitch.
Yeah, I wonder how many peasants it took to stitch that thing.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.